Hi, this is Janet Gallen welcoming you to Love Letters Live. And love letters, as you know, can be to anyone at any time for any reason at all. There is no reason to wait for a special occasion. Today is the perfect day to send a love letter. And today's guest is someone I met actually at a love letters workshop, and I saw the smile on her face when I mentioned that a love letter to a former sweetheart saying thank you for all you learned and all you had together is a wonderful thing. And this beautiful face just lit up, and I knew I had someone with something wonderful to say. I want to introduce Laura Atuil, who is here from Paris, and you're just making your home in San Francisco?
Yeah.
How long have you been here?
So I've been here only for like 1 month, but mm-hmm. I really feel that I'm here for much longer than that, because
came here from Paris just a month ago? It feels to me like
no, because I'm arrived here in December. Uh-huh. I was doing a huge trip around the U.S.
Uh-huh.
So basically what happened is I just needed a big break from France. I had my company of interior design in France.
Oh.
I had a boyfriend. I had everything. It's like, I had like a perfect life.
Why leave?
Because... okay, it looked like it was perfect.
Oh, that's different looking like than being
I had a company with a partner. I did like really huge project for Van Cleef & Arpels.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, it was huge, but I was not happy. So, I decided, like, America was calling me for a long time. Like,
uh-huh.
It was calling me. So, I just decided, I asked to my work partner, I say, I need to take a break. So
uh-huh.
Are you okay with that? I will leave for 2 months. She said, okay.
Uh-huh.
And so I traveled around the U.S. by myself.
Mm-hmm.
I did a lot of different cities. And so at the beginning, I was like, oh, yeah, I want to move in New York. And I'm arriving in San Francisco. And like a miracle happened. Basically, I met the good people at the good time.
Oh.
Parrots, the husband of Miriam,
uh-huh,
just kicked
uh-huh.
me in the street, basically.
How?
And the story, it's funny because I wasn't there at Girardelli Square. I just wanted
yes.
to eat an ice cream. That's
uh-huh.
why I was here.
Oh. Uh-huh.
So it's funny. I'm a sweet person. I love sweets.
Yes.
So I just wanted to eat an ice cream, and I was just walking. And Parrots was here with his guitar
uh-huh.
and the huge menorah, because it was during the Hanukkah.
Uh-huh. Oh, the menorah during Hanukkah. Parrots,
yeah.
by the way, just for our listeners, is Parrots Moshkin, who is the Chabad rabbi one of them in San Francisco, the North Beach Chabad rabbi, and his wife Miriam. Oh, so that's, which, and by the way, Miriam has done two wonderful love letters with me that I hope everybody gets to hear. Okay, go ahead. So,
Parrots was here with his guitar,
mm-hmm.
just playing. And he smiled to me so, like, strongly. I couldn't do something else than smile back to him. So I smiled.
Yeah.
And he just screamed, Happy Hanukkah.
Oh, my goodness.
I just say, Happy.
And he doesn't know anything about you, whether
no,
you even know
no,
what that means.
No.
Uh-huh.
So I say, Happy Hanukkah. So he say, are you Jewish?
Uh-huh.
And I say, I don't know. Do you think I'm Jewish? And he said, I don't know. Do you think you look like a Jewish?
Whatever that means.
And yeah, and we just talk, and he just gave me, after 2 minutes of talking, he just gave me his phone number and
uh-huh.
told me, oh, there's a party tomorrow with people of your age,
oh,
you should come.
Gosh.
So basically, I had the most wonderful 7 days in San Francisco.
So he somehow sensed that you were a newcomer.
Yeah, it just... yeah,
and
it
needed,
just,
oh
just,
my goodness.
I was just here like for... vacation.
Yeah, yeah.
And so basically he invited me every night to a new party
uh-huh.
where I met amazing people. And the day after, like a few days after, I was just walking in the Golden Gate Park.
Uh-huh.
And I just realized, like, this is here.
Oh.
This is where I want to be forever. And I was like, I don't have anything to prove now. It's like, what? You did Paris, now you want to do
uh-huh,
New York. It's
uh-huh.
like, no, you have nothing to prove.
Oh, it's time for you to be at home, isn't it?
Yeah, like uh-huh. in San Francisco, I just feel like so relaxed
How
for
wonderful.
The first time. And people were really sweet. And I feel like I'm a teddy bear. I just need a hug.
Yeah. Oh, you know.
I just need a lot of hugs and affection. And New York is not the place. And Paris is not the place.
Uh-huh.
San Francisco was the place.
Oh, it was certainly the place you found it all
yeah.
of a sudden.
So what happened is... after my trip, so I finished my trip by Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
I took a car from San Francisco and I drive to LA. And after that, I came back in France. And when I came back in France, it was really awful for me. What I did, so I talked to my partner. I say, okay, I don't want to, I don't want to work anymore. 1 month after I was here, I came back to find a job. I closed my company in Paris. I put my apartment. It's like I leave everything, everything.
That's a very brave thing to do, I think. And when you mentioned that you traveled through the United States by yourself, I think traveling by yourself is, for me, a difficult thing to do. And it seems that you just do it naturally and make friends and find a place for yourself. How do you start?
I mean, I used to do a lot of things by myself, not because I choose it, but because it was like that. I was, when I was a child, I mean, I was doing everything by myself, and that's why I need a lot of love and affection, because I have kind of something missing. And so for me, it was like, oh yeah, I'll do it. And I just feel it was the right thing to do.
But how wonderful that you didn't let being isolated in any way keep you from the adventure of doing things and finding yourself.
Yeah.
That's wonderful.
I think everybody, I mean, everybody should do that. If you have the chance and the money to do that, I think everybody should do that, because when you're alone and when you travel and see other things, you just realize, like, my life could be something else. I just put my life here, but it can be totally something else. There is so many possibilities. I mean, I'm a creative. There's a lot of things that I can do. I love to create with my hands. Yes. This is what
I want to talk to you about two things when you came in, but now I want to add a third, if we can, just for a minute. When I asked you about how you pronounce your last name, you said, well, you know, it's a question of really how you pronounce it. In French, it's Atuil, but I don't know how people would pronounce it here, and because originally it's an Arabic name.
Yeah.
So tell me about that and what you know about that name. And
it's really interesting, and that's also why I don't feel French.
As French as you sound.
I mean, I'm French, but I've never feel French. Yeah. My parents are like, why you don't feel French? You're born here. Like, and I just tell them, like, okay, my father is born in Morocco. My mother is born in France, but she was living in Fribourg in Switzerland. So first I'm like, okay, my parents, they're not
either.
It's like my mother is born in France, but she was living in Switzerland. So I'm like, okay, first this. And if you go back again, you have, okay, my two grandfather are from Algeria.
So you have a longer North African history than anything else.
Yeah. So one of my grandmothers is from Morocco. The other grandmother is from Egypt. And if you go back again, it's like my the mother of my grandmother, the one who's from Egypt, is from Russia. So I just feel that every generation is moving to a new place. So I feel more... and it's kind of interesting.
So you want to choose your place where your heart feels at home also.
Yes, because, I mean, France is just where my parents are, but it's not specially like, I don't feel like specially French.
It's not like, your soul.
No, no. So I really feel San Francisco is my place.
I can see that. You know, again, I'm going to say, which I so often say, that I wish this were a television moment so people could see just the light in your face. This beautiful, adorable young woman who needs affection is so affectionate, and everybody would want to hug her and give her affection. Tell me about the boyfriend and the love letter you wrote. What was the goal of that love letter that you wrote to your boyfriend in Paris?
So the thing is, what happened? So this boyfriend I had, it was maybe the most important boyfriend I had during my life, because basically, he's the one who bring me love that I really need for such a long time. And he never stopped loving me, basically, even if we had a lot of fight, even if we had a lot of
problems. How old were you when you met each other?
I was 22.
Oh, you were an adult. Okay.
I was 22. And so the thing is, we fight so much because it was not working, but love was still here.
Yes.
So the thing is, I finally left. I left, and after I went to the U.S., it's like I was trying to escape something.
How did you break it to him that you were leaving?
First, I broke up with him, and after, like, 1 month after, I decided to go in the U.S. So the goal was, because I leave, and I just let him alone, and he have his final exam to do during this year. It's like, oh, it was an awful year for him. So, and when I came back in France after my big thing in the U.S. I just came back to him and say, okay, I just escaped. I'm sorry for that. But it was not working and I needed to escape. But I can come back now and tell you that I still love you.
Oh, this was in your letter. Yes.
And I will always love you, basically. Oh. We are telling to each other, we always will love each other.
Oh, my goodness.
Because we can. I mean, even if it's not working.
Right.
So the love letters, what just to say again, like after all the thing we said, like for, because we talk and talk after the breakup, we talk so much, was just to say, okay, keep this love letter because it's a proof that no matter what happened, no matter where I am, no matter if I find another boyfriend, if I marry someone, if I don't care, no matter what, I will love you. It's like you're like a treasure in a box in my heart. And it'll always be like that because I can't stop loving you. I mean, I can't. So even if it's not working, even if I broke up with you.
Yes, this is such a good lesson, I think, to everybody that whatever you loved in a person is still in that person and worth loving. And people have, it's nice for people to know that and not, I mean, I hate to say take it personally, but, you know, it doesn't mean that you stopped thinking well of someone just because you can think well. Two very fine people can be very fine people and not meant for a life together for a whole variety of reasons.
Yeah,
it's so wonderful that you restated that love even though you can't be together forever.
The thing is I really feel that when you're with someone like for I mean a long time, it was just 2 years, but 2 years it's important. I just feel that at the end of that there is a piece of you inside the other person.
Absolutely.
And this piece, you cannot take it back.
That's right.
I mean, you can. That's why I'm telling you can't forget that you love this person. This person now have a piece of you. A piece of you that nobody else has.
Oh, see, and you're such a generous, wonderful person that you can let that piece go and stay with that person as a gift.
Yeah.
Talk about gifts. That's great.
I mean, it's
oh, I love this.
You cannot deny. A lot of people deny. A lot of people do exactly what I did, escape.
Yeah.
This is what I did, but when I came back, I just feel like it was not the right thing to do.
Yes, okay.
Because when you were with someone for a long time, I mean, you owe something. It's not, you can't just leave and, I mean, you owe explanation and,
That's a nice way to look at it. I mean, I don't know if you owe, but if you have that feeling that you do, how nice to pay that debt in writing. Oh, that's wonderful.
And the thing is, I think also I'm like that because when I was like 16 years old, I had a relationship with a boyfriend. Mm-hmm. And basically when we broke up, it just told me, oh, you're the one and we will find each other one day.
Uh-huh.
Just say that. And every time I was crossing him in the street, he was just running. And he never talked to me again. And it took me like 5 years to because I was always... I didn't have any closure.
Like he didn't see you.
No, he didn't
talk to you again.
No, he escaped because he was too afraid to tell me that. Oh,
yeah,
for real, I don't love you anymore. It's like I turned the page.
Oh, I see.
And just escape. And people who do that actually, it's easier for them because they go, but they keep the love you have for them. So they feel good because they know that you still love them.
You know, I don't know if that's easier for anybody. Maybe the easiest is just to come clean.
Yeah, I think this is the good thing to do. Because this guy who escaped, I see picture of him now on Facebook. And when I see him, I just see the person he used to be. And he just escaped something. And now it's like it's fake. You know what I mean? So during all my life now, I just want to be clean for everything.
Yes.
I don't want to let everything like inside that is not clear. That's why before I come here, I wanted to talk to him because actually there is a lot of people who are moving, who are coming in another country because they all try to escape something. All. But you can't escape your problem.
Yes. You can't run away from yourself.
Yeah, they follow you.
You follow yourself wherever you go.
Exactly. Right. So, yeah.
That's wonderful.
So you
wrote this letter and you sent it.
I didn't send it. Oh. I didn't send it yet, but I still have it. I will probably send it. I don't know when. It doesn't really matter because it's just a proof. It's just a proof of love.
Well, so, I think, it, I mean, Yes, you can keep it and bathe in the joy you had in writing it and know that. And so you proved it to yourself. But I think a real love letter should be sent. And you'll know the joy he has in receiving it, no?
And actually, I didn't send it first because I thought that maybe it will hurt him because it will, like, make him remember, like, all the love and all the pain and everything. That's why I didn't send it. But actually, I took a picture of the letter and I sent him I sent the picture of the letters to him, like, hey, I wrote a love letter to you.
And did you hear from him or not yet?
Yeah. I hear from him. I was like, really? I said, yes. We were at the love letter session, and they say, write a love letter to someone you love. And I only had your name. I couldn't do something
else.
Okay,
so that's kind of an interesting thing. So you write a love letter to someone, and you're a little afraid to mail it for whatever reasons, but that's a really sweet one, that you didn't want to evoke memories of you in this letter that would make him sad. Then you sent a little tester out that we can do through the miracle of today's communication. And then you can see what this person feels to know if you should send it. So now you will?
I will probably. And the thing isn't interesting. I just feel that a letter, when you put the stamp on it, it's...
Oh, that's it.
It's absolutely not the same to show to someone, oh, I write a love letter without the stamp or with the stamp. It totally means something totally different.
Yes. Okay. So I'm so glad you mentioned this, because a big part of what I want people to do in a love letter workshop is the first thing you do, and just remember this, people, because it will help, is you address and stamp that envelope. And I think you just put it so well. It shows your real intent. Nobody throws away a stamped envelope. If you don't stamp the envelope, or you don't even do the envelope, you have that whole opening to just ignore the whole intent to send this. Oh, thank you for saying that.
Yeah, I really feel that, and especially me, because there was like 3 stamps on it, because it's for
France. For France, that's a commitment.
So it's a big deal, you know, and I think even for him to know that I write him a love letter was really... I mean, it was not painful for him telling me, oh, like, thank you.
Right. So that's like step number one, and seeing how he feels.
Yeah. And I will send him, but I love the fact to send it, like, not the same day that I write it. Because basically I send him like, hey, this is what I write like 1 month ago. And I still think that.
Oh, so it's an ongoing conversation even before you send it.
Yeah.
This is wonderful. I want to say, or ask really, if you write something and part of your reason for not sending it is that you think it will bring the other person some pain and remembering a romance lost, what about the fact, and it may, and maybe that's part of the process of letting a certain part go, you know, learning to live without the romance part of it. What about when this man is 70 and he brings this letter out of some old drawer and looks at it and has the joy of remembering the beautiful, beautiful young woman who loved him when he was 22. Well, so that's such a gift in letter years. I mean, it just goes on.
So
it's hard to look that far ahead, but I tend to.
So there's also one reason why I didn't send this letter.
What?
So, okay. In this letter, I write in a moment, I write something like, I really hope that you will find the woman like that is good for you. And the thing is, sometimes I'm just asking to myself, like, hey, if he was the one. So this small sentence is like, it doesn't go, because he feels the one.
He feels that he has found the one.
Yeah, maybe. So that's why also I didn't send it, because it's like I'm asking questions about so, but I will still send this.
Would you letter. Would you have this conversation with him in person and not feel inhibited about it? About if you were in person with him and you said, I hope you find the woman who's right for you someday. Would that be easier?
No. It's really something that I can tell. Uh-huh. It's like there is no problem with that. But just that if you receive that now, because I just told him like by text message, like I'm really wondering like if you're the one. So it's like if I send this now to him, it's like, okay, just 2 days
well,
ago.
It's just more of the conversation. Maybe yeah. he is, and you'll find it out later. But this love letter, if he is the one, will be a perfect string to stay attached by. And if he isn't the one, it's the perfect string to stay attached yeah. by for a different relationship.
But I will totally, I think okay. I will send it. And the thing is, now I have an apartment and uh-huh. everything. I'm not moving. I feel more comfortable to yes. send something. It's like,
yes.
Because now I can put my address, like.
This is where I belong and this is where I am. And okay, good for you.
Yeah,
because so interesting to me. Let me ask about your business that you want to start here. Because I think this will be just a joy for everyone. You want to make
cream puff.
Uh-huh.
So I will tell you how exactly this thing came
Please.
To me. Okay, so I was telling you that, okay, the story is I came back here to find a job mm-hmm. at the beginning. Mm-hmm. I tried to find a job as an interior designer because I'm interior designer. Mm-hmm. And it was so difficult. Nobody replied to me to any of my mails, mm-hmm. even if I had good resume. Mm-hmm. And it's because the visa and everything. So I just began to bake for my friends here because this is really something I love to do. Because basically all the job or the thing I love to do is bringing pleasure to
yes.
people. So interior design is this, baking this, cooking, like huh? all this kind of thing, you bring pleasure. It's not you're not a doctor. It's like not you bring you don't bring life. You just bring pleasure
uh-huh.
and smile.
Yeah.
This is the only thing. So I began to bake for my friends and they had such an amazing reaction, like, oh, this
is this a family recipe or something?
The cream puff?
Uh-huh.
No, it's just something that I begin to learn in France, because mm-hmm. I do a lot of baking class
uh-huh.
in France. And actually, it's funny, because the guy, my ex-boyfriend, he used to eat my first cream puff.
Uh-huh.
I was baking him a lot of cream puff, and he was eating this all day long.
Yeah.
And so first I didn't bake cream puff at the beginning when I came here. I just did like strawberry pie, French
mm-hmm,
strawberry
mm-hmm.
pie. And people were so like happy of that. I just say.
So you brought real French pastry baking here from France.
Yeah, yeah. I tried because here a pie and a French pie is absolutely not the same. So I just wanted to like
uh-huh.
bring like French.
Deliciousness.
Yes.
Yes.
So, and I have to say that for me. Opening a bakery is a dream I have since
oh,
I'm a child.
Okay.
And but it's inside of me. It's like I didn't let it go
mm-hmm.
exactly. So I bake and after I was like, and if my dream, like, and if I just let go my dream. So I say, okay, I will organize a cream puff party at my apartment and
oh.
we will see what happened.
Yes.
So I did a lot of cream puff and people came. And people were so excited and people were taking pictures and put on Facebook, Instagram,
uh-huh.
and other people were putting comments on the picture. It became crazy. And I just say to my mother at the phone, like, okay, I will do this. I will do this.
Okay, so how have you started or how do you start? Are you baking for people on call? Can people call you and order 2 dozen for a party?
Not yet, because I just wanted to do things like in
uh-huh.
the good. So what I did is I came back in France. I create the company. I have a lawyer who take care of this and everything. So basically right now, I don't sell any cream puff. I am creating the business.
Uh-huh.
So I'm looking for a retail space. I did all my recipes. All my recipes are
mm-hmm.
ready now.
Mm-hmm.
It's like every step is a victory because it's so long, especially when you're not from here, especially when you're from France because... There is the visa
mm-hmm.
and everything, but I'm excited by this project. And every time I speak to someone, he's excited by this project. And this project is a lot of love. Basically, it's so much love. That's why people are so excited. Because when I do cream puff, basically, I give love to people. So I think that's why.
And you get love back.
I get love back because it's, I mean.
When you see the love in people's faces, you know what? You know that you've done something wonderful.
Yeah, I mean...
How long do you think it will take? I mean, I think when people hear about this, my own impulse is, can I order a dozen for a dinner party? Or how can you put yourself out there privately? Is there any way that you're allowed to do that?
I'm not really allowed to do that, like,
mm-hmm.
right now, because when you want to sell food, you
mm-hmm.
need, like a special kitchen.
Kitchens,
so
that,
you're not,
right.
You're not really allowed. I have actually a lot of people who are asking me already,
I'm sure.
like, for things. I have
But you could bake in somebody else's home for a party?
Yes,
you could if you wanted.
Yes, I could do that. But the thing is, I want everything to be so perfect because, yes. I mean, in a way, it's like if I show this, mm-hmm. I want that to be perfect. Mm-hmm. Like, this is really what I will sell in my...
Tell me how French pies are different from American pies. That kind of struck me.
So,
like a French strawberry pie would be different from...
So for like the first thing that is different, I feel, is the dough mm-hmm. of the pie, because mm-hmm. I really feel here in the U.S. like the dough is absolutely not the same. Mm. Okay, so basically a French strawberry pie, mm-hmm. it's a dough, and you put like custard.
Oh, I see.
And after you put fresh strawberries, it's like uh-huh. first you cook the dough, and after you just put the cream and the strawberries.
Uh huh.
So, and yeah, and for example, the apple pie is absolutely uh-huh. not the same, because the apple pie you have here have the dough under and on the
yes,
top.
Yes.
And inside it's like a...
cooked apple and
yeah,
cinnamon. And
mm-hmm. But in France, the apple are actually gets sliced really, really thin.
Oh, sure. The tartar
like
pan,
so
yes.
thin. And the actually the French tarts
yes,
uh-huh. are thinner.
Yes, I can
thinner
picture.
Thinner
sure.
and bigger. Like American
yes, water. Yes. I didn't realize that that's what you would make the comparison between. Sure. Everybody loves seeing those in restaurants. And then it's caramelized
yeah.
instead of just
so,
squish.
But I do a lot of tart outside my business. Mm-hmm. For example, for dinner, I bring tart, but it's not what I will do in my business.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So I really try every time, because my business is cream puff. I'm specialized in cream puff.
Okay,
I know everything.
What's the difference between cream puff and eclair?
It's exactly the same. The
okay.
only difference is the shape of it. The
uh-huh.
shape. It's because a cream puff is round.
Small.
It's small.
Uh-huh.
So what I basically do is I mix the French taste
mm-hmm.
with what American and what I
mm-hmm.
like the design of it, like the design of cupcake, like really cute with flowers and
uh-huh.
everything. So I mix like a good taste, because I don't like cupcakes actually.
Uh-huh.
I don't like the taste of cupcakes. I think
interesting.
This is really beautiful,
yeah.
but it's not so like amazing in your mouth. So I just wanted to mix like good design with a really good taste.
Okay.
So that's why my cream puffs are really unique, because even in France, they don't have exactly this kind of
uh-huh.
cream puff.
So you've taken your bakery side and your design side
yeah,
and combined
exactly,
it.
Exactly, because
okay.
people are like, oh, this is so different. I'm like, no, this is not. Actually, for example, my final project in interior design school, because
mm-hmm.
it was interior design and design,
mm-hmm.
my final project was plates.
Uh-huh.
So it was always turning around cooking, baking.
Yes. Okay, so you've been headed here for a long time.
Yeah.
Like you said, since you were a child, this was your dream to...
And a lot of my friends tell me that I'm not surprised because you bake for such a long time. Even when I was like 12 years old, I wanted to seduce
mm-hmm.
like a boy.
Mm-hmm.
And I bring him every day a cake
that
I bake.
Well, you know, they say the way to a man's heart is through his stomach. You've heard that, yes?
So there is a lot of different things
yes.
like that. And when I was a child, I was doing like this thing the Sunday morning. I wake up so early and I prepared the breakfast and I was dressed like a waitress.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, please, with my parents, please sit, have a chair, but don't do anything.
Did you ever see that movie, The Waitress, with Carrie Russell?
I don't think so.
Oh, do you get Netflix or anything, or you could go?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I want you to see this.
Okay.
The Waitress, Carrie Russell. It just the whole time you're talking, I'm seeing this. Okay. Will you go watch that movie?
Yeah. I will.
Okay.
Definitely, I will do.
And
it.
For the rest of you, would you please keep your eyes and ears open for Laura Atwill? Do you have a name for your?
Yeah, I have a name. I have a logo. So the name is called Chou. So you
how do
write,
you spell this?
You spell it Choux, which mean in French would mean cream puff, but
uh-huh.
it also mean cute.
Yes. Okay.
So it makes sense.
Le chou, or just chou.
Chou.
Chou. Okay.
And it's like it's really common in France. We always say that.
Would
oh,
you send me on
chou.
Facebook some pictures of your cream puffs?
Yeah.
And I'll
absolutely.
Repost them.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, okay, I can't
say.
Wait till you open your business, and I'm guessing that you will let everybody know.
Yeah,
as soon as you find a place.
Yeah, I
oh.
will probably do like a big party for the big opening.
Good.
So
okay.
you will be invited.
Thank you for doing this. This is so much fun talking to you. So I want to thank you for the love letter that you talk about. There's so many lessons in that. And, oh, he's going to be so happy when he gets that. You know, there's such a thing as being a little bit sad and very happy at the same time.
Yeah.
You know, what a nice complicated gift that is, really, I think. Anyway, thank you, darling, for doing this. And I want to tell everybody goodbye for now. And please remember, you don't ever have to wait for a special occasion to write a love letter. Almost everything you feel is a special enough occasion to write a love letter. Bye.
Bye.